Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. In your spare time, you ought to read that entire psalm and look at the history of Israel and get the context. But for our purposes this evening, let's notice verse number 41. Is anything too hard for the Lord is what we have been noticing from this morning. And we talked about the fact that we need to understand some things in light of this question. And the first thing we understood from this morning is that he is on our side. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then consider that the Lord is on our side as we answer this question. But secondly, something we need to understand in light of this question is we need to understand that we can limit God. That we can limit God. And that's what the psalmist declares in Psalm 78 and verse number 41. Our brother Darvin, go ahead and read for us.
Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel.
They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The Hebrew word for limited is the word tava. And the root of that word means to mark out as a boundary. So you mark out as setting a boundary. They set out a boundary whereby they limited God. Now, the thing about this is we don't want to ever believe that we are capable of actually limiting the power of God or that we can limit God in any way. And based on what we do, God is unable to perform. For we already know in Scripture that's not true. Because we saw people who actually disobeyed God, and God still performed that which he promised, even in their disobedience. Remember when Moses was told to speak to the rock, and Moses hit the rock. Well, the water still came out of the rock. You know, because of God's power, because of God's plan, even though Moses did not perform that according to God's will. And so we can never get to the point where we believe that we are actually limiting God. But let me tell you what this really means, because it should be helpful to you and you'll understand and appreciate how we then can limit God. So this idea of limiting God is Israel. If you read that entire context, you'll find out that what Israel was doing is that they were limiting God the same way you and I can limit God today. It is not that God was limited in what he could perform, but that he was limited in their eyes. So they actually set out a mark or a boundary whereby they believed that God could not go beyond it. Okay, so they limited God. The problem is when you limit God, you then put yourself in a position to not even utilize God in a way that he could perform in your life, because you actually are the one who is limiting him. You are limiting him in your mind. They limited the Holy One of Israel, but he is not limited. He is not limited in his ability to perform, evidenced by the fact that he was able to give a man who was 100 and a woman who was 90 years old a baby. And yet they are said to limit the Holy One of Israel. When you set a boundary on God, you are the one who is saying God can do this and God can do that, but God can't do that. You are limiting him in your mind, in your heart. Now, if I then convince myself that someone cannot do anything, guess what? Then I do not apply to that person, or I will not ask that person, or I will not think there's any hope or any help in that particular situation, because no one can do that. No one can perform that. You see then what begins to happen. And this is exactly what unbelief does. But God, with him all things are possible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you not know that God can even help our unbelief? Sarah laughed at the suggestion of her having a child at first. When she first heard it, it made her laugh with doubt. A case where all human probabilities was against what was promised. Yet her unbelief was overcome. Nothing but faith would have brought Sarah to understand and believe that God was able to do what he said he was going to do. Now, notice Hebrews chapter 11, because even as we read that in Genesis chapter 18, When you get to Hebrews chapter 11, obviously the Apostle Paul is basically talking about this matter with Sarah, and we see that Sarah actually did believe. And so now we understand Sarah did have faith. God did help her with her unbelief. Notice what's said in Hebrews 11 and verse number 11.
Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed.
Now, some men have gone to take the Bible and say that this was really not about Sarah, it was about Abraham. But the Bible says plainly it was Sarah. So I don't know why men have to try to make sure that they, if they misunderstand something in Genesis 18, in order to reconcile it, they have to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and say, really, this wasn't about Sarah. He was really addressing Abraham. Well, that's not what the Bible says. So we don't have to try to force it and fix it to make to help us to understand or to make it reconcile. It already reconciles. We understand now what happened. When Sarah was in her tent behind them, and though that conversation was taking place, Sarah didn't know who that was. She had three visitors, but accustomed to that day, then they were not, women would not meet with those individuals. They would not come out and eat with those strangers. They would stay in their particular quarters. So Sarah was where she was supposed to be in that particular time. She didn't know who those visitors were. They were in human form. Even though angels and the Lord were there together, she didn't know who they were. And upon hearing that, she doubted. And she laughed in ridicule of what was stated. But upon finding out who the Lord was, and how does she know? Because one of them expressed that he knew what she did in that tent behind them, out of sight, and she did not do it verbally. And yet, that being asked, why did your wife laugh? That would have scared me to death. And it scared her to death. Not to death, but you understand. It's a figure of speech. But it scared her. It frightened her. And then it frightened her so much that she lied. And you see the mercy of God, because she could have been struck dead right there for that lie. But you see the mercy and compassion of God. She lied, and then she said, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, ah, but you did. She's being rebuked and she's being reproved for her unbelief. The Bible says she was afraid. She now notices and recognizes that there's something special about this particular being that Abraham keep addressing as Jehovah and Adonai. And she now notices, so let me tell you, at the first, Sarah distrusted. At the first, she didn't believe. At the first, she laughed in ridicule of this idea. But upon finding out who it was that promised, the Hebrew writer says, Sarah herself also, through faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She had proper faith. It's amazing what God can do even with unbelief. Question. Sarah didn't doubt anymore, but she believed that what was promised could be performed by the one who promised it. So my question to us tonight or this afternoon is, have we laughed and limited the Holy One of Israel? God has given us everything we need to be successful. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Everything we need to be successful, God has given to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, notice what is said in verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining to what?
To life and godliness.
Pertaining to life and godliness through what?
Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue.
All of the effects of the gospel on the human heart can be traced back to the power of God. There are no moral means that is available to man that has done so much to change the character of a man and to change his destiny. The Bible declares the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is nothing else on earth that can penetrate into the regions of the soul and the spirit Nothing else on earth that can do that but the word of God. There's nothing else on earth that can turn a man and change him from the inside out. We don't have anything available to us to do what can be accomplished in the heart, in the constitution of man, from his very soul and from the very inner being than the word of God. We have nothing else like that. It is the only thing on earth that can do it. And the Bible says he has given it to us. He has gifted it to us. He has bestowed it upon us. What? All things pertaining to the new life, the life of the soul that has been given and afforded us in Christ Jesus. Which means he can help our unbelief if we would stop laughing in doubt. You see, Sarah laughed when she didn't know, but you and I have the whole story. You and I have the complete revelation. You and I are sitting in the sunlight age, light shining everywhere from the word of God. The complete story all has been revealed, and you and I sit on this end of it, and we should not be laughing in doubt. Because we know fully the answer to the question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? You and I know full well that there's nothing too wonderful. Evidenced by the fact that they looked forward to the Christ. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. He got a glimpse into it. But we are looking back with the full story revealed at the Christ. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Then why are marriages failing? Troubled marriages are too hard for the Lord, isn't it? Evidenced by the world and the disdain for marriage. Not only that, but how many marriages are struggling to the point of failing, and not just in the world, but even in Christ. I'd have to ask anyone who comes and say, well, I'm just done. I can't do this. I'm getting out of this situation. I don't want this marriage anymore. And I have to ask, is anything too hard for the Lord? Have you found the one thing that the Lord himself is incapable of helping and assisting with? You see, you said nothing is too hard for the Lord. And I say that, wait a minute, maybe there are some things that's too hard for the Lord. Ask a lot of marriages that are falling apart and that marriages that are crumbling and people who want out at all costs. Something is too hard for the Lord. Is that too wonderful for the Lord? Will he who gave us his son not help you with that which is less? Our marriages may be in trouble, but they continue to be because we laugh and limit the Holy One of Israel concerning them. We doubt that God can help our situations. Therefore, we must take matters in our own hands. Does that sound familiar? Even among the Lord's people? Your problem is the way we decide to fix marriages is that we always feel we have to fix the other person. But don't you know if God got a hold of your marriage that he would likely fix you? But when your situation demands that the other person is always the one who needs to be fixed, then chances are you're not going to listen to God or anyone else for that matter. Troubled attitudes. God can help with a troubled attitude. Is anything too hard for the Lord? However, some has laughed and decided that's just the way I am. You ever heard people say that? You have an attitude problem. Well, that's just the way I am. See, you found something that even the Lord can't help with. Therefore, you have to continue. But the Lord could help, couldn't he?
What about a troubled tongue? Sometimes I just speak out of tongue, but you know God can help your troubled tongue. A lot of times folks offend in tongue. Every man offends in tongue at some point. It's very difficult for us not to offend in tongue. It's a very difficult proposition as James presents it in James chapter 3 for anyone to tame the tongue perfectly. And so we need help from the Lord in order to tame our tongue and not offend constantly with it. Not to speak out of turn and not to hurt and hinder other people with our tongue. But the Lord is the help. He can help. But many have laughed and decided he's not through with them yet. The old Steve Harvey philosophy. Well, God is not done with me yet. Well, he says, through. He says, through. God not through with me yet is what he says. He don't like that R. There's an R fit in there somewhere, but he doesn't like that R. God's not through with me yet. I better stop saying that, for I'll be saying it forever. Let me stop that if I make a bad habit. God is not through with me yet, he says. Do you not know that when people do those kind of things, they're really putting it on God? What about a troubled life? God can help your life, but you laugh and decide you are a work in progress. People have said that to me on many occasions. Well, I'm just a work in progress. I'm just a work in progress. I'm under construction and on and on and on. Well, you know what God told Abraham and Sarah exactly when they would receive the child. But for us, it's always some delay. It's never really a set time in the foreseeable future where we are going to get it together. It's always, as many people put it, I'm just a work in progress. But that allows for them to continue in all of their ways. And all the while blaming God for taking his sweet time to perform this miracle to change my life. I'm just a work in progress. Well, God's been working on you for a long time. Why can't he seem to perform it? Why can't he bring it to fruition? Why would God allow you to continue? As Steve Harvey says, well, you know, he's not through with me yet, but that allows Steve to keep on making money while he's cursing and swearing in his comedy. And when asked, well, Steve, how do you reconcile this with all of the spiritual things that you talk about? Well, God's not through with me yet. That's the foolishness as he speaks to so-called religious people, as he's often invited by T.D. Jakes to be on these programs, religious programs, and then when people question it, he said, well, God is not through with me yet. In other words, I get a chance to keep doing my comedy, I keep a chance to keep making my money, I get a chance to keep on cursing and swearing, and I can say that God is not through. Well, what is God doing that he will allow you to continue? Why isn't God able to perform it? Why can't he fix Steve? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You think the Lord wants us to keep misusing our tongues? But when I say he's not done, he's working on me. Wow. That puts it on God. For why I can't get past or get over or get beyond or stop whatever it is I'm doing. We need to understand that we can limit God. We can limit God's ability to perform in our marriages. We can limit God's ability to perform in our lives. Why? Not because he doesn't have the ability, the power, or the wherewithal to do it, but because we have decided in our minds he can't do this. He can't do that. He can't perform that. Therefore, I must take matters in my own hands. And chances are, my friends, when man starts taking matters in his own hands, it often ends up in disaster. That's when we end up in divorce court. That's when folks keep leaving the church behind the things that we say and do. On and on and on. Let me say this. Understand the last point, that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, because we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And that means, my friends, if I take it all in its totality, I will understand this. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? All I need to understand is he's on my side. And he's already given me something that's so wonderful, then there's nothing more wonderful than giving me his son. So what else will he withhold from me? And if I would just simply stop limiting him based on what I know, rather than acting like a woman who didn't know, and upon finding out, she responded in faith, we absolutely know and have come to faith, so there's no reason for us to doubt that he can work in any part of our lives and make us successful. I can stay married to Wanda, even though she's a hard, tough woman. Is she in here? I don't see her. I might have got away with that one. Where is she? She's not even in here. Let me tell y'all about Wanda. No. I guarantee you, be quiet, Tina. I guarantee you it's probably been as tough for her as we grew together. The tough times. And you know what? She hung in there. And I'm not an easy cat. I get to thinking on something. If I think I'm right, you're going to have to hit me with a 2x4 to get me off of it. And you have to deal with that if I think I'm right. And so she have to put up with me. But you know what? We've done it. And we're still here. But I tell you what, I'm like any man in here, Bob included. Every now and again, we wanted to go out and get ice cream. I tell you. We wanted to go out and get ice cream, didn't you, Bob? And just not come back? See, you didn't get what I was meaning by ice cream, did you? We wanted to go out and get ice cream, too. Dog and all of us. Every man in here has wanted to go out and get ice cream. Even you little newlyweds, you think that it's all right, but your husband has some thoughts. Boy, I don't know what I was thinking. You see, I have to use the husband because you ladies, y'all are better than us in a lot of ways along those lines. We the silly and foolish ones at times, and we the ones that get exasperated and act like we need to run off and all this kind of stuff. And the women have to stay home and take care of the children. They got to do all the hard work. And so, you know, shame on us for being that way from time to time. But I tell you what, it's tough. But you know what? The Lord has helped us. The Lord has helped us, and he can help us. There's no situation that he can't help us, but we have to stop doubting. But then if we understand that in Christ, through him, I can do all things. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. Whenever man has trusted in the Lord's strength, he has accomplished some amazing things. One man trusted in the Lord's strength, and he was able to bring a world power known as Egypt down to its knees. One man. One man who didn't think too much of himself was able to go bring that great power down to its knees. One little orphan girl became queen in a foreign country and saved her people from being destroyed. One little girl and an orphan girl at that. Not much chance for her to rise to prominence, but became queen in a foreign land and saved her people. Three young men relying on the Lord's strength overcame the violence of fires that consumed the men that threw them into that furnace. Was it their strength? Mm-mm. Relying on the Lord's strength. One little youth and a little ruddy one at that. Overcame a giant who defied armies. Armies was afraid of this man. At the very sight of this man, armies would run back. At the very sight of this man, Israel would not come out. Man came out and challenged him day after day for 40 days. Give me a man, somebody, any of you, come out here, stand up. And one little ruddy fella heard what he said and put his strength in the God of heaven and went and met that man and took his head from him. What happens when men rely on the strength of God instead of their own strength? God keeps telling us the scripture is replete with example after example of people who accomplished some amazing things. One man displayed such strength that he was able to destroy more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. And I tell you what, he worked on quite a few of them in his lifetime. But in his death, while he was perishing, got the strength from the Lord to destroy more in his death than he did in his life. One man. Probably one of the most amazing ones, who considered himself the very chief of sinners as he was against Christ, became the chief of missionaries for Christ, the Apostle Paul, then known as Saul. So the question is, what is your story? What have you been able to overcome and accomplish with the strength of God? Do you not know that Abraham and Sarah was walking with God before the promise was ever made? They were already with God. They were already walking with God before the promise was given. And then when it was given, they gave some attempts to help God. Sarah says, okay, Abraham, take the handmaid and offer her handmaid to Abraham to go in and lie with her and make a child. And he certainly did. Wait a minute. God said it was going to come from Sarah. Sarah offered him her handmaid. We'll help God. Okay, well, then when God comes to Abraham, Abraham is joyful about the fact that God is going to do all these things, but he offered Ishmael, the one that his hand had been given of his handmaid. Well, why not let Ishmael stand before you? Oh, the attempts to help and assist God. What is the one thing that has come up that has you trying to help God? What is that thing for you? What is that thing that has you taking matters in your own hands? What is that for you? What is that thing that you have decided in your life that is too hard for the Lord? You see, my friends, with his strength, you can do some amazing things. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 1, Brother Darvin. With his strength, you can stand fast. Come on, read.
Therefore, my brothers, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved.
Where are they going to stand fast?
In the Lord.
They're going to stand fast in the Lord. Don't you know to stand fast means to be stationary, sedentary? You know what? We can go ahead and plant ourselves right here on the truth of God's word, on the doctrine of Christ, and the world may be shaking and moving all around us, but we can stand fast. The government is shaking. They're moving, aren't they? But we can stand fast. Folks are afraid. Oh, Trump is in. I'm moving to another country. But we can stand fast. We're not scared of Trump. What is he going to do? What is he going to do to us that hasn't already been done? What is he going to do to God's people? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears, 1 Peter 3:12, are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them to do evil. Do you believe that? Then let Trump do what Trump does. It's not like he's really affecting us. We live in a different sphere. We are protected by the one whose watchful eye is always on his people. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. And you know what? We ought to do what God says. Pray for them that are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, which is good and acceptable on the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. You see, I don't have to get afraid like everybody else gets afraid. Okay, Trump won the election. Okay, whoop-dee-doo. Y'all remember that one? We used to say that too. Whoop-de-doo. I don't even know what that means, brother. But I got a feeling I used it correctly in the sentence. You know? Whoop-de-doo. He won. So what? Because we weren't trusting in him in the first place. We weren't going to be trusting in Hillary. Our trust is in a God that's beyond the skies and what he can perform. And he has given us his son. And the fact that he's given us his son, that means he'll take care of all these other things. We don't have to worry about that. We can stand fast and be stationary and not be moved. But not only that, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 and 11, we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we are put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the stratagems or the schemes, strategies of the devil. We can stand. And later on, he has fitted us with the armor to provide us everything we need to protect ourselves. Finally, and pay close attention to this one, and then I'm closing. We can save others with the gospel. The same gospel that saved us, if we will open our mouths. You know, Moses, when it was time to save the children of Israel, said, I can't speak. You have to be careful that you are not sitting here right now with all of this revelation saying, when it's time to save others, I can't speak. And sadly, that's what too many Christians are doing. We are educated. We have degrees. And we are saying, I can't speak. Personal evangelism is all our responsibility. The Lord wants to save people, but his people are saying we can't speak. When Jeremiah was told, I made you a prophet to the nations, and now it's time for you to go prophesy to these nations, Jeremiah says, oh, Lord, I am a child. Question. What is it that you believe? What is it that you believe? Everyone has to check his own heart. What is it that you believe? When it's time to save our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, we are saying, I don't know how to talk to people. You know why I'm talking about this? Because when I was on leaders, put on the board all the things that you wanted to participate in, when we got down to personal evangelism, there was three of us. Everybody else was scattered out everywhere else, and there was three of us. Do you realize that that is the one? All the other things may be edifying to the church and maybe encouraging to us, but that is the one for the purpose why we exist. And you know why folks ran away from that personal evangelism one? Because they are saying things like, I really just don't know how to talk to people. You talk to people every day. Stop lying. Well, I really don't. You're smart. Some of y'all are smarter than me. I don't consider myself to be all that smart. As man declares smart, you know, I don't know. But I'm just saying, some of you are educated. You got degrees. You know how to talk. And if I know anything about getting an education, I know the chances are if you go anywhere in education, you're going to have to at some point stand up and talk in front of people. You're going to have to give some kind of presentations. You're going to have to write. You got to do term paper, on and on and on. And then when we get to the Bible, we say, I can't do it. I can't talk. I never tried to save him. Are you going to sit here throughout the rest of your life and go up before God, never having brought anybody to Christ? Because you refuse to open your mouth. I'm asking the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Why aren't you opening your mouth? Why are you saying you can't do this? Why don't we have more people involved in personal evangelism? I'll tell you why. Because we have decided that that was a choice that I don't want to be a part of. What is it that you believe? What did you do to be saved? Can you tell me what you did to be saved? Then tell them that. The Lord's word will save. The power is in it, not in you. Again, I ask, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm going to say this just because sometimes you don't even know if you should say something. But, however, I'm that guy that says things and worries about the consequences later. I don't want to embarrass anyone. And I don't want to act as if when I say something, that means no one is doing what they're supposed to do. That's not what I want to say either. That's not what I mean by this. But let me just, for an example, embarrass one of my little friends here. For an example. That young lady right there, and she doesn't know I'm going to say this. How long you been a member of the church?
I'm going on 5 years.
Going on 5 years. That little lady right there, from the time she's hit that door and understood what Christ has done for her, has been out there running folks crazy with the gospel. I'm serious. She didn't know half of what most of us know. And I baptized how many people because of you? I don't even know. I stopped counting. Wednesdays, Sundays, calling me. I drove off the highway one day, and there was Tina Cone. Brother Greg, I got somebody. They ready to study. I'm driving in off the highway. I'm coming from, I don't know, Georgia or Memphis or somewhere. And I was about on the 11th, 12th hour of the drive, and I said, you know what? I'm going to grab a sandwich, and I'll be right there. Because Tina Combs keeps me working. And so I drove off this highway. We studied with them folks and baptized someone. We've been baptizing folks on Wednesdays and all that because she keeps opening her mouth. Now, my question is, what's wrong with the rest of us? Probably responsible for at least 10 people being baptized by me alone because of her willingness to open her mouth. And I told you, I come in off the highway again. I went to get a sandwich, and there was Tina Combs in there doing something with her boss and said, Brother Greg, come here and get her. Come get her. And the lady said, well, you put me on the spot, Tina. Tina said, you need to be put on the spot. Get her, Brother Greg, and walk away. But that lady was here that next Sunday. That lady was in here hearing the gospel that very next Sunday. I'm saying all that to say this. That woman is still a new babe in Christ and don't know half of what we know. And imagine if everybody had that attitude. I told her, don't ever lose it. I've had to chastise Tina from time to time about the way she do some things, but I told her, don't lose it. Don't lose it. You just keep that spirit. What I'm saying is this. Do you know that if everybody acted like that and we went out there and told people about our faith and we invited people and we told our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors and we looked for opportunities to open our mouths and say what we know. We don't have to teach what we don't know. Teach what you know and tell people about Christ. Do you not know that we probably wouldn't have room to fit the folks in this building? Do you know that if every person decided they're going to save one person this year, I'm going to work so hard, I'm going to get one, and that was your attitude, I'm going to get one, two, three, however many I can, and that was your attitude, do you not know we will double in size in less than a year? I believe the Lord can do it. But maybe we're laughing in doubt that he can do it through me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I asked you that. You said no. I don't think it'd be too hard to bust out of these walls next year if everybody got to work on the thing that they believe is a choice. Personal evangelism is not a choice. You've been talking to people all your life. Why not tell them what you believe? And why not tell it wherever you go? And why not try to get somebody this year because you're going to tell them about the loving grace of Jesus Christ and his salvation for their souls and to declare unto them the very things they're going to come here. You bring people in here, you don't know what I'm going to be preaching that morning. You don't know what they're going to hear, but you know they're going to hear this. There's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Christ. And you have to be baptized to be saved. I'm going to tell them the same thing you ought to be telling. Question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Then let's stop acting like it. Because we got the whole revelation right before us. And we know God, who can give us his son, is nothing too wonderful. Will he not increase Newport News? Will he not help us to grow? Will he not make this the great congregation in his vineyard? Will he not build us up and strengthen us? Will he not let us grow up spiritually? Will he not remove those doubts from our own minds? Now, if you say, Brother Dismick, I just don't know how to go about doing it, we can teach you that. But there must first be a willingness, right? Will that God in heaven not overcome our excuses the same way he overcame Moses's? I can't speak. Who made your tongue? Will he not overcome Jeremiah's? I am a child. I'll be with you. What's our excuse? Then let the Lord help us with it. If you're here this evening, now we all quiet because we feel like we just got whipped. Nobody whipped y'all. just made you think, right?
Yes, sir.
Just encouraged you to let's get back and put the main thing. Let's just get back to who we're supposed to be. Let's not lose sight of the personal evangelism. Declare your faith. And listen, I'm going to sit down, but listen. Aren't y'all tired of them little boys on bikes coming up there with y'all with white shirts on, talking about, let me tell you about Jesus Christ and the Latter-day Saints? Are you tired of that? And what are we doing? They at least trying to get out there and share their faith and don't even know the truth. Aren't y'all tired of them folks walking all through your neighborhood trying to give you tracts and all this kind of stuff and knocking on your door? You scared to let them in because you don't know what to do with them. And they knocking on your door saying, we from the Watchtower Society. Let us come in and tell you about this and about that. Them folks are out there. But where are we? We sitting here saying, we're the only ones right. We're the Church of Christ. We have the truth. And our folks are sitting on it.
Yes. Amen.
Our folks won't share their faith. Make you wonder what we believe. Okay, now you're getting whipped. I'm looking at a lot of intelligent people in here. I wish I had, I don't know what I would do with half of y'all brains. There's some folks up in here really smart, scary smart. If I had your brains, boy, what could I do? In other words, my friends, you got the capacity. You just have to now use it. The thing about all the stuff that we can learn physically in life and the things that we can gain from man's wisdom and they're educating us and all those kind of things, what it does is if you don't take that and then bring it over and utilize it for God, then what was the point of getting it? If you've gained it and you have the capacity, utilize it over here. And then God gets glorified. Otherwise, y'all, let me tell you what's going to happen and then I'm going to take my seat. We're just going to become comfortable with our own little brand of people, and the people, of course, Tina brings. Tina gonna keep on bringing these people. We're just gonna become comfortable keeping house with our own little friends and people that we consider family and we've gotten used to and accustomed to. But there's a lot of folks out there that need us. And the only way they're gonna come to know Christ is they're gonna run across you one day, or maybe they run across you often. But that person is sitting right next to you in your little cubicle on your job may never come in contact with me. But they are sitting next to a Christian who knows the truth and know that they're in a dire situation and will not share, will not even attempt to tell them that they need to come to Christ. Now listen, if you're worried about bringing them in here because your preacher might embarrass them. Oh, my preacher might embarrass me. Well, that's me. I might. But then again, I could be just what the doctor ordered. Bring them in here and see. And I say about Tina again, I told Tina and I told the rest of you, bring me your coworkers. Bring me your friends. Bring them to me. I'll take as many as I possibly can. It's not like that we haven't had them set up on Monday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Saturday. I've been in people's homes, study with 7-8 people at a time. You know, hey, we'll do it. We'll do it. And we've got some other brothers in here capable as well. But you ought to become capable. Do as much as you can. And then when you feel like you've gotten to the point where you can't take them any further, then get some help. And let's see if we can win some souls from Christ. 2017 is coming. We're going to change our plan. We're going to start getting back to the responsibility of bringing the church to the world. And we are going to try to reach out and save those people. We got to get back to the very purpose for why we exist. The church is the only soul-saving institution, but if we keep sitting in this nice little building waiting on everybody to come to us, it's just not going to work that way. Let's get about the business of saving souls. So get ready, because that's what we're going to do. And if we need to help you and assist you, and we need to show you how to do it, if we need to give you some techniques and tell you some do's and don'ts, we'll do all of that. But be prepared. Don't sit on the sideline while people die and go to hell. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
And we read the rest of the story. In the end, we win. If you're here, you ought to want to be with the Lord. He certainly wants to be with you, and he's done everything he can to make sure you have the opportunity. Sending his son that way, to die that way,
on our behalf, then that ought to give you hope that if God did that for you, will he not also receive you into heaven to be with him forever? If you would just respond in faith to belief in his Son, the repentance of your sins, confessing that he is the Christ, Son of the living God, and submitting to baptism so that he will bring you into his body, into his church. Save your soul. And one day, my friends, even though death is going to catch us all, on the other side, Jesus told us what happens over there. We'll be just fine if we just continue faithfully. You need to respond to this. Come on right now as we stand and sing the invitation song.